What's up, everybody? This is NXpress, the Nintendo show of GoombaStomp.com. I am one of your hosts, Tim Mason. Here with me is Ricky D.
What's up, Tim Mason? What's up, Nintendo Nation? Tim, I've been having a bad 3 weeks.
It's been pretty hard to find time to record. There's been a lot going on. Part of that is summer and people are busy. But part of that is that, yeah, the stars have not been aligning for NXpress. It's been a bummer. And your life in particular seems to be in a little rough. A rough patch, Rick.
Well, I feel really bad because I wanted to talk about some new games today, and I got a review code for Salt and Sanctuary, which I hear is incredible, and it didn't work. And so they're supposed to send me a new code, and then I was supposed to get a code for Dead Cells, which I was hoping to review, and they ran out of codes. So, and then I got a code for Overcooked 2, but I ended up giving it to Katrina, so I haven't been playing any new games.
That's fine. It happens. But let me keep introducing people before we get rolling on any new games or topics. Patrick Murphy's here.
I haven't been playing any new games either. I'm so overloaded. I for some reason, I just keep picking the longest damn games that the Switch has on them. Skyrim's done, though, guys. Done. 140 hours. I've beat everything and all the DLCs, and I think I cleared a good 75%. Of the dungeons in that game.
If you had to give it a rating out of 5, since it is Elder Scrolls 5, how many scrolls would you give it?
Oh, that game was amazing. It was everything I hoped it would be. I waited for a long time to finally play Skyrim, and I was not disappointed. That is one of the best games I've ever played. No question.
It, seriously, it's not overrated at all. Love that game. Love Elder Scrolls. Bring on 6. I'm ready. But before we talk about Elder Scrolls 6, which is not what we're talking about today, we've got a special guest joining us once more. We've got Zach Rezac. How's it going, Zach?
It's going good. Going good. I've been playing a lot of WarioWare Gold. Like, a lot of WarioWare Gold. A ridiculous amount.
That's your thing. Wario is your thing, which I love.
I have every WarioWare game that's ever been released, I have completely 100%ed. Beaten every challenge on every micro game, like all the extremely tedious stuff that takes like hours to do. And I'm trying to do that with this new one. It's a lot because there's like 316 micro games, and all of them have their own individual high score challenge you have to break.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's I don't even think it's good to be like, I don't think that's a good idea to put in a game, but it's there.
This is the kind of game that could trigger some sort of latent obsessive compulsive disorder in you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. We've all been there as gamers.
Yes. I actually have a few theories as to why it's not on the Switch,
but don't go there yet because Our main event is all about you and your and WarioWare Gold. So let's table it for now, because you guys, just today, the best thing in the world happened. There was a Smash Direct.
Yep.
And I was hype about it, and then it happened, and I was just about jumping out of my chair with excitement. It was a great Direct.
So Tim, on Workplace, right before it started, I think like the night before, a lot of our staff, our writers, were saying that they weren't really expecting much because, like, how much could they possibly show us given the fact that the whole entire E3, like the digital event, was spent on Smash? And then there was the the leak basically hinted that they were going to add someone and or something from the Castlevania series. It was basically the music, the titles of like two of the most popular songs from Castlevania 2 got leaked. And so right away I was like, okay, we're going to get Simon Belmont, but you know, I already know this, so I'm still going to get disappointed. And yet, despite the leak, despite the fact that the entire digital event at E3 was spent on Super Smash, I was sort of like blown away. Over 800 songs, more than 300 stages, 5 new characters, and did you see the special edition box set, which is only, as of right now, available in Europe?
Damn.
It comes with a GameCube controller and the adapter. Now, which I already have GameCube controllers and an adapter. I have it, but my GameCube controller is, you know, it's a little old. So I really, really want the special edition.
This was a better Direct than the E3 Direct. Like, I'm not a big Smash guy. Like I was just telling Tim before the podcast, I've never actually owned one of these games, though I've played most of them.
Wow.
I
think
Brawl is the only never played, but yeah, I'm not a fighting game guy, and I also tend to play single player all the time, so fighting games just don't tend to interest me in general, and that includes Smash. But the thing about these games, though, is I look at them and they're such Nintendo candy that it makes me think like, oh, maybe I should pick this one up. And this Direct, I gotta admit, like, even for a guy that doesn't really care that much about Smash, I was thinking like, maybe I should buy this. Simon Belmont, I mean that's that almost seals the deal right there. It's such a cool character.
Nintendo and Smash, when it comes to those games, they are the best, absolute number one when it comes to teasing and hyping. And yeah, the trailers they release are seriously just in a league of their own. Like the so Wii good. U trailers with the Animal Crossing villager announced, I was like, oh, that's incredible. And then, like, Greninja revealed later on. They were all just, like, spectacularly done. And by then way, this one, you guys.
Does anybody do physical comedy better than Nintendo? I mean, even this in-game footage, some of the stuff they do is so funny. They're so good at doing this.
It's crazy how much character they can put in. Like, Captain Falcon slowly walking up to a Pokeball and throwing it. Did that need to happen? No, but I loved that it did. Anyway, we got to talk about this opening trailer.
Well, can we talk about the opening segment? Because, like, right away, it I mean, Patrick, you said it was better than the Nintendo Direct or the digital event from E3. Even just the opening, it was, I mean, the animation with Luigi basically dying, getting, like, murdered by some specter, and then Simon Belmont coming out of nowhere. Like, yeah, the Grim Reaper shows up. I mean, yeah. I don't remember them doing anything like that at E3. It's like, and I know, like, E3, we've talked about this when we went to E3 and we did our podcast, like, E3 itself seems like it's sort of slowly somewhat dying. But, I mean, Nintendo needed, I'm going to use the word needed. It's not that they needed, but for the lack of better words, they needed to have, to really, like, have something big to show with a Direct, because just 3 days ago I was thinking, well, when is Nintendo going to give us a Direct? Like, we need a Direct. Like we haven't had anything since E3, and the games that have been released, like, we had what, Mario Tennis, which is okay, and a bunch of ports. Not from Nintendo, but yeah, that game is sort of like right now, like, the big thing on the console. I mean, even the Pokemon game is, like, not too many people are hot on it. Everyone's waiting for the game that's going to be released in the fall.
Including myself. The new Pokemon doesn't interest me. Like, to be honest, it looks like shit.
No, it doesn't, Zach. But we can talk about that another time.
Go read my impressions, Zach.
Yeah.
Go read my impressions on the site.
Yeah, okay, we played it.
Was like, yeah, seeing it in person makes it look totally different than how.
Oh, you guys have played the game?
Yeah, we played it at E3. With the Pokeball controller.
Okay. And loved it.
Definitely, your impressions.
Well, has someone who's not a big fan of Pokemon, the series, like, I've played two games so far, the last one, Sun and Moon and Yellow, I think I'm going to pick up the new game. And in a lot of ways, well, we shouldn't be talking about this right now because we're talking about Smash, but, like, trust me, like, have some faith. Going back to Smash, that opening was amazing. I love the fact that they opened with Luigi, but I don't know where to go from here because there's just so much to talk about. Like, for example, there's not just Simon Belmont. There's five characters. And remember a while back, when I say a while back, I'm talking about, like, a year ago, we did a spotlight. What characters do you want to see added to Smash? And my pick was King K. Rool. So
yeah, he was my Smash ballot pick back in when they did the, like, I have wanted King K. Rool since I was 10 years old waiting for Brawl. Like, I was like, I hope they add King K. Rool to this game. And, like, I'm going to be honest, after watching that, because I went into the Direct completely blind, I didn't even see the Simon Belmont leak because I just shut Twitter down so I didn't get any spoil. Like, I heard spoilers were going around, so I just turned off all notifications. So I watched that actually at the office during my lunch break today, and I got emotional at the end because, like, I never in a million years would have guessed, because Simon Belmont was my most wanted character for this game, and I had no idea he was coming when I watched that, and I was like, holy shit. And they announced K. Rool at the end, and I was like, oh my god, like, it literally could not have been a better Smash Direct for me. There's no possible way.
Perfect opening, talk about, so perfect ending. Yeah, let's talk
the
about
opening,
that.
The opening segment was glorious and just the coolest animation I've ever seen.
Because it had
and
Luigi.
Luigi's
pulls not
out
dead.
All the stops and absolutely just trolls fans and shows a silhouette and you're like, finally. And then it's DDD.
And yeah,
which is great.
DDD's laughing and you can tell Nintendo's laughing and they're like, psych. And if the direct ended, I probably would have liked it a little bit better because it would have been so cruel.
No
but
way.
Also, like, such an obvious hint. But
I would have never forgiven them.
And getting to see a tiny bit of gameplay, plus just seeing Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong's reaction was so funny. I was like, oh my gosh.
But so that's the thing. I've been talking about the marketing for Nintendo Switch ever since the console got released, and the marketing is amazing. Like, they actually spent more money on TV commercials than Sony and Xbox combined. And it's not just the TV commercials. Like, even the Twitter account. Like, I don't know if you guys follow Nintendo of America on Twitter, but Wario took over their Twitter account a few days ago, and it was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, they do a great job with that. But the thing with this Direct is they also just did a great job with the pacing. I felt the E3 Direct got so bogged down in the details that it became kind of boring. This one, they moved along at a great clip. They bookended it with two amazing animation. And their animation segments have always been great. Their character introductions, you know, the Ridley one at E3.
It's
the highlight of that.
I don't know how they have time to do that and make the damn game.
It just shows that if they were making their own Mario movie, I think they would do a great job. I have no idea, like, how the people that are doing it are going to, but this has to be, I know everybody, every generation says, I don't know how they could make Smash better, but I am blown away at all the content in this game now. Yeah. I has there ever been a fighting game or a celebration of one video game's company's history like this is? Nope. It's unbelievable.
I don't think there's been a media celebration of any group of franchises like people talk about Infinity War being the biggest crossover event in history. That's nothing. This is pulling in franchises that aren't even Nintendo, and there's like we have 75 characters at this point.
You include the Echo characters.
No, that is with the Echo characters.
Oh, it is. It's only 75. Okay. I remember when Infinity Wars. Well, I think there's more, but when Infinity Wars got released and everyone was on Twitter and the reoccurring like tweet was the greatest, what was it? The most epic.
Greatest crossover event in history.
In history. And I was like, no, Smash is the greatest crossover event in all
Smash
of history.
Smash 4 was a bigger crossover event because it's not like Infinity War was pulling in DC characters. It was still all Marvel characters that were based off a comic that already had all those characters.
Yeah,
and
keep in mind, there's still a big mystery, which we can talk about soon, that they haven't yet revealed. And the game is still not yet out. And because this game is going to be their way to really sell the online membership, which, let's face it, the thing is so damn cheap that I don't know why anyone wouldn't want to buy it. But there's a good chance we might even get a few DLC characters within the next like year or so. So God knows how much they're going to add. And Patrick, you're right. Like, I don't know what they could do to top this game. Like, can they actually ever make a follow-up to Smash Ultimate? Is this it? Is this the ultimate version and that's all? And maybe, and you know what? Maybe that's not a bad thing, because if you look at games like Overwatch, I mean, or even Grand Theft Auto, which has been around for 10 years now, they just keep on releasing DLC. They make a lot of money with the DLC.
Yeah.
Like, technically, why does he have to go out and make a brand new game, which is going to look very similar to the previous game, when he could just focus on cooler things like DLC? Because this game looks pitch perfect. And
if Nintendo chooses that path, they absolutely could just continually do updates to this game for the foreseeable future, for the lifetime of this Switch.
Of the Switch, exactly.
And not have to worry about a new Smash game.
Look,
for
we don't need a new Smash game for the Switch. Like, if the Switch is around for about 6 years, we don't need it. But sorry, I just got to say, because I'm going to forget if I don't say this. The thing that I was the most hyped about, I mean, apart from maybe like King K. Rool, was the tourney mode. Because every time I play Smash 4 with my family and friends, I always do like this imaginary tournament, and I have to like keep track of scores and who played which character, so we can't pick the exact same character. And they've actually added a tourney mode now, so you can have a tournament of up to 32 players can participate. And it also keeps track of who you've chosen, so you can't choose a character who's already lost a match, which is amazing.
Yeah, that's super cool.
I think we should really go into detail, like, kind of what was covered. On top of just some cool new assist trophies and new Pokemon featured, we all knew that was coming. What they really showed off was a bunch of new, kind of unexpected details about the game and how customizable it is, which is a really big deal. Like, if you are someone like me who wants to spend hundreds of hours playing Smash with your friends and family for years and years and years, you want to get the most out of the experience. And Nintendo is providing so much to help you tailor the game to how you want it to play and be that it's staggering. So, like, Rick, you were talking about how excited you are about the tournament mode, which they did need to bring back, and it needed to be there. So good job for listening. Clearly Nintendo's listening. Let's just all be like, thank you, because not only did we get Simon, we got King K. Rool. We've gotten so many, like, fan-wanted heroes and characters, Ridley. Like Ridley. It's been amazing. But Smashdown, the new mode, where it's, like, it's heaven for players like Ryan and I, my co-host at Game Boys. We love to random characters. What better way to have a showdown than in a mode where you are randoming characters, and then as soon as you use that character, they're no longer choosable? That's amazing. That's so cool. So exciting.
I love that idea. And I think that a lot of these new additions, like team, like how you can have like stacked battles now where it's like a 3v3 where characters like switch out and stuff, similar to something like Dragon Ball FighterZ. I think that's going to expand the competitive options. Have you guys ever like tried to play Smash like with like more competitive mind or anything like that? Like,
I played at Montreal Comic Con and I got my ass kicked. But are you talking about Squad Strike? Because that's
Squad Strike. Excuse me.
Yeah, I'm a little confused about Squad Strike.
Am I wrong about that?
Well, it's 5-on-5 or 3-on-3.
Yeah.
Where you select different characters? I say heroes. I've played too much Overwatch. I'm sorry. You pick different characters, and then once you lose that character, you swap to a different one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's what I understood.
I think that can expand the competitive options, because I played Smash. Like, I went to about 3 or 4 tournaments for Smash 4. Like, there was a time, like there was a period of time where like I had injured my rotator cuff, so I couldn't train at all. So instead of going to the gym, I would just play Smash Bros. This was like sophomore year of college. So I played the game like probably an unhealthy amount in that amount of time, because it was all I had to do. And I was actually like going to tournaments and stuff and competing in it. But I think this is going to be a whole new ball game, because Smash 4 to me is really not that competitive of a game. But this seems like they're really taking things to a new level. I mean, I'm really excited. I'm going to put a lot of time into learning this game. I'm still just going to be playing Donkey Kong, though.
Yeah, the article over at our website has a great still, like an image of the moon from Majora's Mask. And the fact that the moon is in this game,
as an assist trophy.
They have
as
an assist trophy,
yeah. And Shovel Knight.
It's the
Shovel
ultimate
Knight's
fan service, this game. Like, I don't think I've ever heard of a fighting game with this that's this customizable before.
Let's talk about that. Like, I never use items. I don't know about you, Zach. I just like it to be a straight bout to see who's the most skilled.
I would play on like funny maps, like, and I'll do all kinds of stuff, but very rarely do I mess with the items. Rarely.
But like just today, I swear they've heard my complaints for years, and they just said to me today, this was directly for me. They said, Tim sat me down. They said, guess what? You can turn hazards off.
Yeah.
And I was about ready to cry with joy. Like,
now you can play finally, Mega Man stage
without being annoyed by what's his name? The stupid monster person. Golly.
It's just too strong.
I actually like the hazards and I like items. Like, it's not to say that I only use items, but like it depends on who I play with. Like, if I'm playing with my nephew's best friend, like that guy is like a Smash pro. Like, he competes in tournaments. So having those items, like, if he will basically, what happens is is if I'm playing with someone who's super good, they just won't use the items because they know they have like such an advantage over me because they are a better player, but I can use the items, so it helps to balance out the match.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
More than that, before we get to like guessing or looking ahead, because I do have a feeling that maybe there will be more reasons for Patrick to pick this up, and I will have thoughts on that. But like before we move on, just as someone who doesn't like items, just saying that there was a Smash meter now that built up the Super Smashes, the final Smashes, which I never really experienced because I hate items and I just never bothered. It was too random. And so like years later, I had kind of just forgotten what all the final Smashes were. I was like, yeah, I don't even remember because I never use them. Seeing that there's a meter that you can build up by doing things in game, I'm like so happy about that. I'm with Zach. I think that the competitive scene is going to evolve. I think personal play is going to be at its all-time best. And Zach, do you think this is the return of Subspace Emissary?
No, I don't, because someone enhanced the image and actually compared it to the Japanese one, and we now know what that blurred section says.
It says spirit, right?
Yeah, it says spirits.
Right, which would make sense because of the opening where Luigi is murdered by the Grim Reaper and his spirit comes out of his body.
Yeah.
So
could it be similar to Subspace Emissary? Possibly.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's going to be a single player thing. I don't necessarily have to have Subspace back, but I do want some sort of substantial single player, like whether they bring event matches back or whether it's this new spirits mode. I just want something that single player, like solo players, can play instead of just classic mode.
It has to be a single player mode.
Yeah, I agree. I would put 90% confidence that it is, but what is it? You know, like,
yeah.
That's clearly why they're teasing it and masking it, by the way. Like, they know that everybody wants the single player mode back. And they, you know, they've kind of refused for a little while. And this has clearly got to be it. It's got to be returned. I mean, this is the ultimate fan service game. So they're going.
Why couldn't they just show us?
Because they're saving it for another one. They have a ways to go before this game comes out.
There's
going to
be another direct with more characters. I bet you we get one or two more characters because that like anyone who thought they were done after E3 has never paid attention to anything Smash Bros. Does because they do the best gradual reveals of any developer ever.
I don't even need any more characters. Like, I am so beyond happy with this roster. Like, no, I could not be happier.
I don't know.
Nintendo, don't listen to him.
There's about a handful of characters that, you know, a lot of people really, really want in a game. Like, Olivia just wrote an article about how Toad is not in the game, has never been in the game. And he's like, you know, he's been...
And he has been in the game. She's wrong.
Well, no,
and absorbs blows with him, which is all you should do with Toad, is let him take your punches.
But
he wouldn't have an interesting moveset.
But at least, like, okay, you're right. But, like, Waluigi, a lot of people want him. I would say about at least five sort of, like, essential Nintendo characters that you can add.
So real quick, just kind of as a side note, this can even get cut out of the episode, I don't care. I do think that final mode's got to be the single-player campaign of some sort. They did event matches in the last game, and they were really fun. And Patrick, I would say that, like, while it wasn't enormous, there was single-player content there that I found really, really engaging and challenging.
Oh, and I played Smash for Wii U. I played, you know, quite a bit of it. I just never bought it because I knew I'd never play it by myself. But I played it over at my brother's house. And I played some of those, you know, I helped him get through some of those challenges. It just wasn't enough for me.
See, I loved those. I hope they're back.
And, you know, learning fighting game moves, the whole rhythm of fighting games just doesn't... I mean, for as much as I've played Smash, believe it or not, I've played quite a bit of it, and the gameplay has never clicked with me.
Okay.
Never. And I have put hours and hours into this game, like, just kind of as a punching bag most of the time.
My ears are bleeding.
I know. I need to stop talking.
It just doesn't click. Like, I just don't... it's not for me.
That's
but
fine.
What if you played Smash with a Wii remote?
I have flashbacks of Arrested Development. Patrick stands up and says that this game isn't for me. There's dozens of us.
We got to move on, but we got to quickly mention there's a few more characters.
Talk about how, like, everything in this Direct was good except for the couple of disheartening mistakes. And, like, I think not enough people are stopping to say that there are things that were bad about this Direct.
Really? What?
Really? Yeah. Like what?
Okay, you guys, sit down, brace. I'm sorry. Shovel Knight is an assist trophy. He's not playable. That's a mistake.
Can I wasn't expecting him to be playable. I don't want Shovel Knight to be a playable character.
What would his moveset be?
Alucard is an assist trophy and not a character.
See, this is a weird juxtaposition that we run into. Now, because Nintendo has included assist trophies, now when they add new characters as assist trophies just to recognize them because they're not worth being their own character, then people complain, oh, why aren't they our character? Even though we already have like 75 characters. So it's better that they're in, like, would you rather them not even be an assist trophy than not be in the game?
I think there are so many people that were begging for Shovel Knight to be a character that it's cool if they recognized him. I think that they could easily patch the game in the future to make him a playable character.
I almost think that's like we're getting to the point where we're asking too much. Like,
I think people are mistaking what Smash Brothers is for. It's not to recognize a popular new character that came out 2 years ago. It's to recognize video game history and tradition.
Right.
Look at every single character. Who's a recent character? Yes, some of the Fire Emblem ones have gone in there, but Fire Emblem
is just
a
you're hitting the
franchise.
Nail on the head, because Sakurai is such a Fire Emblem character. That particular franchise is oversaturated.
Okay, but Tim, Fire Emblem's been around for decades. Shovel Knight's been around for 2 years.
Castlevania's been around for how long? 2 minutes? Castlevania's older.
Who? Wait, what? Whoa,
what are you talking about? I'm saying that Shovel Knight, the game itself, came out in 2014? Like, it's such, I wouldn't be opposed to having Shovel Knight in the actual game as a playable character, but like I would choose, like there's a ton of like Nintendo characters or characters from you know, game, like whatever, video games that aren't necessarily made by Nintendo that have been around for decades. Like if we really wanted to get into the conversation about who else to add, I mean, there's a lot more characters we can add over Shovel Knight. Having Shovel Knight as an assist trophy is good enough for now.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Nintendo is free to add whatever Nintendo characters they want, but look at the characters they've added from outside of their own company. They're all parts of long-standing, you know, historical franchises. They haven't added somebody just for the sake of adding them because they were popular. Like Cloud's Final Fantasy is huge franchise. Pac-Man, Mega Man, Solid Snake. These are massive franchises that have been around for years.
Yeah, yeah,
and
that's
to
all,
add
that's
Shovel
all well
Knight
and good,
would just
guys.
Be like, oh, well, Shovel Knight's like the new flavor of the month kind of thing.
No,
until Shovel
that's all
Knight...
well and good. They did a ballot, and Shovel Knight won, though.
Well, of course. Because
not,
the...
That's not completely true.
Even if it was,
he didn't straight
because
up win.
The most recent thing is often the most popular thing. But, you know, when you're adding Simon Belmont, Castlevania, long-standing franchise, they're celebrating the history of video games on Nintendo consoles. Shovel Knight's a great game, but does he deserve to be a place in... We don't have enough perspective on Shovel Knight right now, and he's only really been in one game. It's not a franchise, even though there's been a lot of DLC for it.
Also, he's mentioned that one of the biggest factors is whether or not they would make an interesting moveset, and I do not believe that Shovel Knight would make an interesting moveset at this point. I think they would have to take a lot of liberties with the character in order to give him a fully fleshed out moveset. Also, the point that I was trying to make when I originally brought it up was that if they had not shown Alucard and Shovel Knight as an assist trophy and they just weren't even recognized at all, no one would be complaining.
You're absolutely right.
You say that to the guy that's been saying, where's Sephiroth, though? Like, I recognize that I'm being a demanding fan, but like there was a full like wave of disappointment that Waluigi wasn't included and that he's an assist trophy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I get where they're coming from. That one I don't care about as much, but I think that we can't complain too much because they actually listened to us and gave us the two bad guys from Nintendo franchises that the game has needed for a very long time.
Yeah.
So like all complaints are half jokes. But it, to some extent, seeing these assist trophies is a little bit sad when I almost would have rather not seen Alucard, and then just kind of hoped that maybe he would be a character down the road.
So you would rather him not even be in the game as an assist trophy than them adding more content to it?
I'm gonna
disagree with you here, and we gotta move on, but like, Dracula itself, like, the character is not from a Castlevania game. Like, he stretches to, like, the actual original, like, novel written, like, what, centuries ago? Like, I mean, like, what are we gonna, we're gonna have, like, Frankenstein, we're gonna have, like, the mummy added in, like, the fact is, we got Simon Belmont, we actually got two characters from Castlevania, because we keep forgetting to mention Richter. Yeah. And so, like, what I'm saying is, like, you know, based on the fact that we have 75 plus characters, I'm cool with him being an assist trophy, as well as Witch Shovel Knight. And I'm just saying that if they had to add just one more character, like, let's say it was, like, one more character, and that is all, we're never adding anyone else ever again, I'm sorry, it's got to be Waluigi.
Yeah.
No, he's an assist trophy, so it's not going to happen, is what I'm saying. It's disappointing. It's not going to happen. Give it up.
Professor Layton. Like, I mean,
yes.
That was the most ridiculous. The correct answer there, if we can only get one more, it's Travis Touchdown. But
which, you never know, could be DLC because what's his face? Pseudo does have a game coming out. Like,
and for a long time, Travis was exclusive to Nintendo consoles, so it makes sense. I'm not, and I'm sure there's maybe one or two characters coming, and then maybe even more as DLC. I'm just saying that. I'm being contrarian for the sake of it because I do find it a bit disappointing, and I know a lot of Waluigi fans are really hoping that they'll change him from assist trophy to character, and they won't. But I'm just saying it is slightly disappointing that we're getting Simon and not Alucard, especially since the old Castlevania games are probably, I don't know, I don't want to step on any toes. Let's just say Symphony of the Night is the best Castlevania game. That's what
I disagree.
Anyhow, the last thing I want to mention is we do have Stage Morph, which is kind of cool.
That's very cool. I think that's a cool little detail.
Yeah. Like, I like the idea of a stage just morphing into a stage in the middle of, like, a battle.
Just one of those bonus features that no one thought of, or I'm sure someone's thought of it, that they were like, because maybe someone wanted it. And, like, that's the kind of game this is, and I love it.
Here's the final question before we move on to one more topic in news, before we move on to the rest of the show. Is there anybody missing from the lineup from previous games? Is everyone actually here?
Yes.
The hand.
Since the first trailer, everyone has been there.
Yes.
Okay. I just feel like we're missing someone.
We are not.
No.
It's just new characters from here on out.
Yep.
Which is maybe even more exciting, but I don't know. I was maybe, like, the most excited just seeing Snake again. I was so excited.
I was actually scared because Snake was unspeakably cheap in Brawl, and he was, like, the guy that people who couldn't play the game played.
Wait a minute. So, we played Snake at E3, and I did not like his character at all.
Okay. Because I beat everyone senseless with him.
He needed to be toned down. Because
they did tone him down a little bit. His
tilts were, like, stronger than most people's smash attacks in that game. I mean, that was just absurd.
That they've toned back, but he can still do obnoxious range damage.
Escape fine.
Absolutely everything with his up B.
That's fine. I just, those tilts were just, they came out in, like, two frames, and it would do, like, it's just, like, ridiculous damage. I was like, who allowed this in this game? But, I mean, I love how Snake as a character is in there. I mean, he's obviously a fan favorite, so I'm just, of course, happy everyone's back. How could I not be?
All right, before we move on to the next segment and talk about Wario, I do want to ask each of you a question. So Nintendo released their sales figures, and we don't like to talk too much about sales on the podcast, but I do have a question for you guys. So far, the console sold somewhere between 19 and 20 million units, the Switch I'm talking about, right? And of course the NES Classic was the number one selling console of June or July. I think it was July, which is pretty amazing.
That's
funny. My question for you is, by the end of the year two, which I believe, and I'm going by when the console was released, not like the fiscal year, but like the console was released in, what was it, March 6th, I believe. Yep. So by March 6th, 2019, how many Switch units do you think they would have sold by that date, Right now we're sitting at 19 million. We have a Pokemon game on the way. We have a Smash game on the way. And God knows what else. And God knows what else. And God knows what else.
I don't see it being as high as Nintendo has forecasted, but I think they can get through from here till March. They could sell another 10 million maybe, so maybe have 30 million after 2 years. I know that's lowballing it, and I know the holiday season's coming up, but I don't see it like...
That's you say lowballing, that's like higher than I would estimate, actually.
Yeah, me too. I would say 25.
I think if things are if sales are okay, I think 4 million. If they do really well, 6 million more.
I think so they've got two chances. 25 to sell.
Is, I think.
Yeah, so you're with me, like 25 roughly.
Yeah, right around there, I think.
Yeah.
Zach? I have absolutely no semblance of a guess. I'm just gonna say 35, just because it's different than what you guys said. Like I have, I'm just so not well versed in that sort of thing.
Well, put it this way: the PlayStation 4, I think, has sold roughly 60 million units so far, but it's been on the market for about four or five years.
I thought it was
years.
80 million.
Is it 80?
I thought
now?
It was 80.
It is 80. Now.
How long has it been on the market? 5 years?
A while.
A handful. Right. Yeah.
So I'm bad at math here, guys. How many really? Million is that per year? 20?
But they don't sell. It's less about like what year it is. And that some are just progressively moving. That is true. Like people like happen to come into money at certain times and they'll just go pick up a PS4. But like really it's trying to calculate how many units will a game push itself? How many units can Smash push people? Yeah. Right? That's the question. How many
for me, it's not Pokemon. Smash, it's Pokemon. Pokemon's yes. why I think it's gonna hit the numbers. But the
November
the thing
is Pokemon.
But it the is. Thing is that I don't think it's going to start selling those big numbers right away. Like I do think Pokemon's going to bring in a large crowd. But
main
I think
series
it's gonna
Pokemon
take
games is going to move like 10 million Switches. This one's going to move like 4 million.
Yeah, I just don't see this one. Yeah, and again, the I'm thing. The wrong person to ask, but I just don't see this one being really popular.
I think you guys are right. Like, I think the thing is, yes, the Pokemon game, the one that everyone is waiting for, which might only
the main
come,
series, yeah.
which might we might only that, have like footage and a trailer and whatever in 2019. That game can push 10 million, but the combination of the Pokemon game that we're getting this year with Smash can maybe bring it to 25 million.
I think that's about six. I think four from Pokemon, two.
Yeah,
from
a total
Smash.
Total of 25 by year two, which would therefore surpass the GameCube. We've already like goodbye Wii U. We can't let's forget that console existed.
Someone out there is like, "What about Fire Emblem?" And I scoff at you, sir.
That's next year anyway.
Yeah. Well, he said before the end of the Switch's life cycle, so that gives us till March, and I think it'll be out by then, right?
I don't know when.
I thought it was like
they just said 2019.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I took that as like probably February, but
I mean it could be, but we never know. It could get delayed again too.
I think to end this conversation, and I said this like a year ago. I said this before the Switch came out. I think the Switch is going to be Nintendo's biggest selling console of all time by the time they move on to the next whatever it is. Switch 2.
No.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Game
for
Boy
sure.
is too big a number.
Game?
Well,
what are you talking
the
about?
DS
Wii,
sold
the
more
Wii
than Game
sold,
Boy.
The Wii and the game, and yeah, and the DS sold more than Game Boy.
DS sold way more than the Game
Wii,
Boy did.
The Wii did not sell more than the Game Boy, I don't think.
Yes, it
Wii,
no.
Yes,
the Wii,
the Wii did.
Five.
Yes, it did.
Yes, it
game
did.
Boy was 90
game Boy's,
million, and
game
the Wii
Boy's
was
in the top
million.
10. Wii is like the number one selling Nintendo console of all time with the
home
DS.
Console.
Maybe
home
I
console.
Need to, maybe I need to relook at my numbers, but I don't think it's going to reach those numbers.
No,
I think it's going to be... I think it's going to be respectable. I think it'll hit at least like 50 million down the line. I think it might even pass the 3DS with the hype that it's been getting, but I don't think it's
I don't
going
know,
to
man. Like the,
some of those
when,
past
when
Nintendos.
The DS got released and the 3DS, like people thought that it was just going to be a complete bust, and it sold well over 60 million and counting. Like it still sells today, and one of the reasons why it still sells is because of games like Pokemon, because it reaches a younger audience. Those little dudes that you see running around, those little people, they get introduced to video games via Nintendo. Not always, sometimes PlayStation and Xbox, but a lot of these kids get introduced via Nintendo and games like Pokemon. So I think, given the fact that Pokemon is going to come to the Nintendo Switch, I think it can be easily, I think it can easily become the number one, the highest grossing whatever same, video game console for Nintendo.
By the same logic, the 3DS should be the best selling console for Nintendo because Pokemon's on there.
But what happens if they release Wii Sports 2?
I don't think much, to be honest.
No, not you, but like
if the they families, package it the with families, the thing, and that's like the start of the second year or third year of the Switch, then yeah, you could definitely move some units with it, but it won't. I don't think it'll ever reach that hype level of the Wii, which
yeah,
was like understocked. Everyone wanted it. It was such a family thing. It was such a novel concept at the time that everyone emulated it. I think that maybe we do see some emulation of it. I think maybe Sony and Microsoft are looking at the Switch and wondering, but I just don't see it crossing some of those thresholds that you think it is. I hope it does. I love the Switch.
I think the reason why I think this is because Nintendo still has a lot of fresh new IPs that we do not yet know exist, and I think they have something in the lines of like a Wii Sports, like something that's just going to bring in like people of all ages. That's what I think.
I can tell you how you get Tim to buy another one because he's just so stoked out of his mind. Luigi's Mansion 3, Pokemon Snap 2.
But that's a Tim. That's a Tim.
But Tim, I'll buy another. I'm saying I'll give
you're not going to buy 25 million consoles because you can't afford it. Tim, can you please read the iTunes review so we can move on and talk about Wario?
If you go to iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen, drop us a rating or a review. We could end up rating it on air like this review right here.
Did you say rating it? Rating the rating?
Yeah, we're going to rate it.
I give this rating.
Man, this review sucked.
As it comes from someone named The Ghost Toast, says, the best Nintendo podcast. This is on my list of weekly listening rituals. Other shows just don't have the passion and personality of this one. A must listen for any Nintendo nerd.
Big Dab.
Damn, Nintendo should add him into Smash. Playable character. What's his name? Ghost Toast?
Ghost Toast. I like that name.
I think he might be coming on to you guys.
I rate that review 5/5. Anyhow, yeah, Ghost we gotta Toast, move on.
You like our show, we like you more. How's
exactly.
That?
No, seriously, thank you so much for the reviews. If you listen to the show, you can support us, the show, Patrick, myself, and Tim, and our guests by leaving us a review on iTunes and or Stitcher and or just go to our website, because by visiting our website, you not only support the podcast, but you support the whole entire website.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better myself. We're going to take a break. When we come back, wah, don't go anywhere.
I need to make some quick cash, eh? And fast.
Huh? Breaking news! Smash Hit Super Puro has taken the world by storm! Let's face it, everyone loves this game!
Hey?
And it's selling!
Ha-ha!
Like hotcakes!
Ha ha ha! Of course, games! Talk about easy money! Type.
Briefly at the end of our discussion of Smash Bros. And sales figures, we talked about the Wii, and one of the best experiences on the Wii was the WarioWare game that came out and made perfect use of the Wiimote. But I am an amateur when it comes to WarioWare, and we have a full-on expert in our midst. Zach, you are about the biggest Wario fan I've ever met.
I'm actually considering getting a Wario tattoo very soon.
Which is so great, because yeah, Wario is one of the best Mario-like characters of all time.
I think I might actually be Wario. I think I might actually be him. I have no idea.
Have you played every game that has featured Wario? Have you played the Virtual Boy Wario Land?
I've played the Virtual Boy Wario Land all the way through on my Virtual Boy.
Nice. So have I. We might be the only two people on this planet who did that.
That game is great, by the way.
You also maybe have laser vision now because there's some lasers ported.
Yeah, I'm blind.
What game did Wario first appear in? It's a really
Super Mario
game.
Land 2. Six golden coins.
Yes.
Great. Still holds up. It's one of the best, one of the better 2D Mario games, too.
I do believe they made a list of the 200 greatest Nintendo games ever made.
It's not coincidence that my other show is called Game Boys. I love that game so much.
Okay. I have a trivia for you guys. What game featuring Wario was the last video game on the Nintendo Entertainment System made by Nintendo?
Wario's Woods.
Very good. Good gold star.
Well,
gold star.
Made well into the Super NES's.
Oh, yeah. In fact, they made one for both of them, and obviously the NES port is just inferior, but, you know, still cool that they released it then.
Nintendo Power gave it almost no fanfare, too.
No, like, Wario Woods is not technically part of the Wario Land series, though.
No. It's just a title.
That was a trick question, Zach.
It's a trick question?
Anyhow, so you've been playing a new game. I hear it's great. Yes. I haven't played it. I should be playing it. So, what's it like?
I have my full thoughts about it, and I'm actually going to be publishing a list of me ranking every WarioWare game in the franchise, no matter how small it is. If it's considered a WarioWare game and has the WarioWare characters in it, it's going to be in the list. And I'm going to do my definitive ranking, and it's going to have the newest game on it. And I have been thinking about this for a while because this is one of my favorite gaming franchises ever. It's probably my third favorite video game franchise.
Does Wario Land beat it?
Wario Land 4 is my personal favorite video game ever, but as a franchise, I like WarioWare better than Wario Land. In fact, it's not even close.
See, I love Wario Land so much.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I regularly just like sit and wonder why we don't have a new one.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm right there with you. I love Wario Land as well, but I don't like all the Wario Land games. I don't think all the Wario Land games are good. So
Wario
I think
Land 4 was the one for the Game Boy Advance, right?
Yes. That, okay. I think, is the best in the series, and like by leaps and bounds. Some of the other fans will tell you that Wario Land 3 is the best, but I just think they're on two different levels completely. But anyways, let me get back to the game. So, yeah, I'm going to have that list published, and I've put a lot of thought. I changed this list probably like a dozen times. I kid you not. Like, I spent so long just ranking it. And I'm not going to spoil the ranking, but in terms of what I think about the new game, it's a lot more old than new. Like,
so I was told it's like the greatest hits.
It is, and there are some new microgames. There's a total of 316, I think I mentioned earlier. There are some new microgames, but it is very much a greatest hits, like you mentioned, Rick. And for someone like me that's played, like, I have spent, and this is not an exaggeration, I have played WarioWare for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. I would probably say we're probably getting closer to the 1,000-hour mark I've spent playing the franchise as a whole. I mean, I played them so much as a kid, it's ridiculous. And, I could recognize every time they had one of the old microgames, I could recognize, okay, that was from this game, and it was this person's microgame, you know? So, like, when you play it so much, and then it's supposed to be a new game, but it has a lot of the old content, that was a bit disappointing for me. And because of that, it didn't feel like really a new WarioWare game to me. It didn't. And of course, for someone new to the franchise, they're not going to feel that. It's going to be – that would be the best place to start if you're new to the franchise. But for me, it did not feel like completely a new WarioWare game, and that was disappointing for me.
But – okay, but that's disappointing for you because you're such a longtime fan of the series. But
yes,
you're saying that the game is still excellent, right?
Absolutely. No, like, without question.
It's always that thing when you review a game, you review it for what it is, not for what you wanted it to be.
Exactly.
So, like, are you writing a review of the game, too? Like, are you dropping a list and a review?
I'm not reviewing the game for exactly the reason you just mentioned. I almost feel like I am too biased as someone that has spent so much – and this sounds so weird, but – the feeling it gave me is not going to be the feeling that it gives the majority of the people buying the game. And I think that would skew it, my review, a little bit. I'm simply ranking it to where I feel like it is on my personal list. I think it's a list of eight.
Do you feel like it does contain the greatest hits, the best of the microgames?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, that no question. Like, I mean, they've even incorporated microgames from Smooth Moves, and they've done it brilliantly. I don't have really any complaints about the microgame selection. Also, all the old ones have been redone in terms of visuals. So you're looking at something visually new, However, that brings me to my next complaint about the game. And I'm going to get the complaints out of the way before I talk about what's good. And this is the hardest part to explain. There's something about the old WarioWare games, and I'm speaking mainly the ones on the Game Boy Advance and then Touched as well a little bit. They had some sort of a – like the art direction and sound design and style of that game was very, very unique. And I think that's been lost a little bit in this new game. They're kind of opting for a more cartoony, goofy style rather than
something experimental or art house.
Yeah,
for what is essentially a Nintendo themed character. That's I'm not very familiar with the actual series. I've played Wario Land 4.
Yeah.
And that's because it got re-released on the Wii U. And I'm trying to think Twisted, I guess. I played Twisted. And that's about it. So I'm actually curious.
Twisted's the best handheld game ever made.
Oh, well, I was just going to say I'm curious to check out your article because I want to know what your number one is, and you kind of just spoiled it, Zach. Thanks a lot.
But there are – because that's not true because they're a lot of the WarioWare games are console games.
That's true.
I said it's the best – I think it's the best handheld game ever made.
Oh, okay.
Answer there is actually Link's Awakening, but let it slide.
That is a good one. That's a good point. That's a great game.
So your history with this franchise, this is something that's been eating my insides. For some of these games, they were really fun to play with people, but that was primarily the console version of WarioWare.
Mm-hmm.
Is this for party gaming, or because it's the 3DS, is it just kind of personal gaming?
So that's actually a really good question, and I'm actually really glad you asked that. One of the biggest misconceptions about the WarioWare franchise is that it's a party game. And really, it's not. The inception of the franchise was very much meant to be a single-player experience. Smooth Moves and the remake of the original for the GameCube are the two exceptions to that. Smooth Moves was very much a party game, I guess, to fit more of a console-type environment. But the majority of the franchise is strictly geared toward the single-player experience, and that's very much the case with this new one. If you're going in expecting a party game, this is not the game to buy. There's one multiplayer mode in it, and that's pretty much it. And you have to own another cartridge of the game, too, which sucks.
What about the feature of Wario's voice? Because I read an article about it a week ago. I can't remember if it was on Polygon, but the whole entire article was about Wario's voice.
Okay, that's another good question. So the whole game is completely voice acted. Every character in the cast of the WarioWare franchise is back. There are a few new ones, and they're all voiced. Not all of them are voiced well. Not all of them sound like the original sound bites from the first game. Jimmy T's voice is way off. Orbulon's is way off.
But does Charles Martinet voice all of the characters in a series or just Wario?
He just does Wario. The other characters are done by random people at Nintendo must be.
The janitor.
What are you doing? It sounds like it in some cases, man. I'm not even going to lie. Some of it's great. Some of it is downright terrible. And it's just... Some of it isn't necessarily bad. It just does not fit the character at all. The characters were actually given a decent amount of personality in a lot of the earlier titles, and you would hear sound bites of them talking and stuff like that. And these voices they've chosen just most of the time rub me the wrong way. I really don't know how I feel about it. And that kind of adds to what I was saying earlier, the tone is very different. The original WarioWare had a very surreal tone. That's how I would describe that game. That game and Twisted, I'd say, are surreal games. But now we're kind of geared more toward the cartoony, silly, goofy type of tone. And that's just
it lacks the edge of the original
one. Soul, yeah. I miss that soul, man. And maybe it's because I was a kid, but I do go back and replay those games occasionally, and I really don't think it's because I was a kid. I really think those
they had a
well designed.
Yeah, they had a little bit of a bite. It seemed a little more, caustic than most Nintendo
releases
are. The humor was of the weird. Nintendo has always had I feel like they kind of fight sometimes to suppress their innate weirdness and come out with very family-friendly stuff, but there are some real weirdos on that staff, development staff, and I thought that WarioWare let those guys loose.
Yep, and I agree, man. I totally agree.
So you're saying they've toned it a little bit back towards the family-friendly Nintendo style?
Yeah, like, even some of the redone graphics kind of take that edge off.
That's a bit disappointing, since I kind of liked that. It wasn't, like, dark, but it...
He was
clearly, like, I don't know. You can feel that Wario's a villain and it's not Mario that's running the game. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Wario is still very much a villain in this new game.
That's what I liked.
That surrealist, like, and this might sound really stupid for people. Like, they're like, what the hell? This guy's just describing Wario where he's talking about being surreal. But I've spent so much time with this franchise, like, I guess you're just going to have to take my word for it. That's really what I feel about those old games. I think, in my opinion, that's the biggest thing that's missing from this.
When the online system – when we finally get the online system, I hope to God Nintendo starts releasing some of their older games, like a huge backlog of, I don't know, like Game Boy, GameCube would be great, Game Boy, Game Boy Advance. I would love that. Be playing a Wario game on the Switch. Like I said, the Wii U had a lot of titles that got re-released What do you call it again? The
Virtual Console.
Thank you. But I'm actually going on vacation on September 1st to Cuba, and I am bringing my 3DS. I'm not bringing my Switch.
Why?
Which I know sounds crazy, and the reason why is because the Switch tends to overheat, and I don't want to be playing the Switch anywhere where it's like that hot. So I think I'm actually going to pick up the game, just for my vacation.
Have you guys seen that Switch commercial with the kids playing Mario plus Rabbids Donkey Kong?
No.
And they're on a beach, and they're playing Switch.
that's going to be me.
That's risky.
It's because it's the first time I'm ever going to a resort. Usually when I go on vacation, I'm always like moving around, you know, I like to venture out. I don't do touristy kind of like activities. I like to kind of like live like the locals, but it's the first time I'm going to a resort where I'm basically going to be stuck in a resort and I do not know what I'm going to be doing at nighttime when the sun goes down. I could be getting drunk, but I could be getting drunk playing Wario at the bar with the bartender. I don't know. I'll keep you guys posted.
That might push you over some sort of sanity edge. Those games are already really weird.
Maybe. Anyhow, we got to move on. I'm actually going to drop out of the podcast, guys, because I haven't played the game that you guys are going to talk about to end off the show. So, for our listeners, please follow me on Twitter. I am Goomba Stomp, and it's Goomba Stomp spelled with a – it's complicated, the number 0, because whatever. Zach, thank you so much. I look forward to hearing your talk about Octopath Traveler, even though I can't play the game. And I guess that's it, Tim.
Yeah, Rick, thanks for joining us. We will talk to you later next week. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we want to highlight some of the unique features, I guess, discussion points around Octopath right now. What works, what doesn't, so don't go anywhere.
It's my gold. I love gold. Oh, this thing's heavy. I'm broke. At least I got this gold thing. It'll really spruce up my place. Another high score. I'm the best. It's pizza time.
Welcome back to N-Express. We're at our final segment where we're going to talk a little bit about Octopath. Rather than going into what we think about the game 1 week later, because it's a very long game and I don't think our impressions have really changed, we wanted to pick some of the points that the game is being recognized for, are discussed around, and kind of just see what we think works and what doesn't. And one of the ones that I wanted to start with was 8 micro-narratives in place of one giant connecting narrative for an RPG. Does it work? Yes or no? Let's start with you, Patrick.
Okay, does it work in the way the traditional RPG storytelling has worked? No. And if that's what you really want, and you want this grand story where everybody's tied together because that's what you're used to, then you're going to be a little bit disappointed that none of these characters really interact. There are some little side conversations that take place. They're very short, though, and they don't really add a whole lot. They're certainly not part of a grand story. Usually they're just there for, I don't know, some kind of comedic relief sometimes, or, you know, maybe just something to for pacing reasons. For me, it works, though, Tim. I actually like this quite a bit, and I have no problem ignoring the fact that there are maybe eight people traveling together, but only one of them is the story is playing out like there's only one of them there. I just consider this to be eight personal journeys, and the other seven people just step aside when somebody has to do something. It can be a little bit disorienting when they're basically talking about themselves being alone when you beat a boss or something like that, and you're having this conversation, and you know that there were three other characters that were helping this guy beat this boss. But I prefer this to some of the storytelling the traditional RPGs have done. I think they tend to have so much exposition, and even this game is guilty of that a little bit. They tend to have so much exposition that it bogs down the gameplay and makes me utterly bored. You know that I do not have an affinity for storytelling in games, period. I think it's not the best medium for such, and I don't think RPGs have done a very good job with it anyway. So to have less of it is great, and I am enjoying actually imagining the interactions that my party's having. It's letting me... This just sort of happened by accident. I didn't really set out to do this, but as I was playing the game, I kind of had little asides going on in my head, like what do these people talk about when they're traveling together? You know, how do these different characters interact? Because any RPG or any game where you have multiple characters, you're going to like or dislike people. You're going to gravitate towards certain people and maybe even hate certain others, and that certainly applies in this one because I hate a couple of the characters. So in my world, like the other guys, I'll treat the douchebag thief exactly like an outcast. Like they shun him. They don't even let him sleep in camp at night on the road. They basically like don't want him there so that their appetites in the morning are disrupted by the sight of his stupid face. I've developed all these little backstories for these people and how they're sort of interacting with each other, and I find that to be much more stimulating than the traditional feed it to me exposition that RPGs do.
Okay, this is where I am going to hop in really quick and agree with you that I actually think it works and I really like it. And for me, it's less about like imagining these relationships, but actually just as like a comparison, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, I'm just very tired of all of the tropes of JRPGs in particular, and the fact that there isn't any of that here, that it's kind of mundane, that it's about four individual travelers and them resolving their own quests, I think is kind of this nice, not realistic is not the right term, but more down-to-earth narrative. Like, there is no clown that succeeds in blowing up the world and then you go from there, or like, I don't know, take a Final Fantasy or any popular JRPG and tell me the ridiculous, convoluted, and yet riddled with tropes narrative that it provides, and that's not here. And I really like that. So that has been really refreshing to me, and I think that that should make this game even more notable. So, like, yeah, nothing connects, but I don't know. There's no annoying tropes. It's not going to have the same old Final Fantasy narrative that every Final Fantasy game has now. Like, you're the cool outcast guy that doesn't fit in, and the world's in danger, and you save it.
And there's a crystal.
There's a crystal somewhere, and the bad guy's really some weird, like, angel thing, and something about God's reawakening. I don't know.
Yeah.
One of the stories is about a guy looking for a book. I mean, it's kind of mundane, and I really like that. One thing I would just say to people, I'll keep this short. Like, one thing I would just say to people, of course, I totally understand people who respond negatively to it, but I would just say give it an open mind, because this is a different way of storytelling in RPGs. I don't think there are too many, if any, that have really done it this way before. So I would just sort of try to sort of forget the way that you normally experience RPGs and just sort of let this one in and see what it does for you. Let it swirl around a little bit before you, resist and want to go back to your traditional ways of doing things. There's room for both. There's room for many ways of storytelling in games, even though I don't really care about it. There still is room for it. So I appreciate that they tried something new here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for me, I think it's got one of the best turn-based battle systems in an RPG I've ever played, period. Oh, yeah. I think it's incredible, and I would love to see that explored more in a sequel. I'm kind of like Patrick, where I don't really care about story usually in games. Like, I think this is a quote from one of the guys who made Doom, and he said, like, stories in games are like stories in porn. you know, who cares? But the thing is, that being said, there are some exceptions to that rule. Obviously, like, you take something like Professor Layton's Xenoblade Chronicles, and I'm very engrossed in what's going on. This is not one of those games. I really don't care about the story of any of the characters, really. Primrose probably has the most interesting story. But there are some stories and cutscenes that are just downright absolutely boring. Like, I think Ophelia has one of the most generic and boring stories I've ever experienced in a video game. Absolutely. So it's just terrible. She's a great character, very strong, but terrible. And I think that people that are disappointed with the story might have been getting into this game for the wrong reason. This game, in my opinion, is very much focused around letting the player choose what they want to do, how they progress through the game, as well as the combat. I really don't think this game's primary goal was to tell a story. I just don't think that's what it was. I enjoy the unique structure. I enjoy the freedom while still keeping some form of linearity. I enjoy the freedom it gives you. And I think that, like I said, a lot of the complaints regarding the story, I feel like maybe they're not, maybe they were getting into the game for the wrong reason. I'll put it like that. I can definitely see where people wouldn't like it, for sure, but I very much enjoy it. I like imagining, like, party constructions in my head. Have you guys ever played, like, the Etrian Odyssey games on the 3DS? Anyone ever played that?
No. I played one of them.
So part of what made that game fun, that game had, like, absolutely no story. It's almost like Dungeons & Dragons. It's literally the closest thing we have to Dungeons & Dragons in terms of the combat.
True. Although when, like, you were back in town, my God, they could talk.
it's just pointless jabber.
It's pointless jabber.
It's not, like, actual story or anything.
No, there's barely any. They hang it on some loose premise.
Yeah.
You got to perform this ritual that's been done for
100
exactly.
years. Yeah, exactly. It's like yada, yada, yada. Okay. This game kind of gives me that same feeling in terms of, because there's 8 party members, there's a lot you can do. And with the subclassing system, you can make some really, really interesting combinations. That level of freedom is not typically seen in most story-driven JRPGs. There is a lot you can do with your party in this game, similar to the Etrian Odyssey games. So it kind of strikes the balance between, like, something like Etrian Odyssey that has, like, absolutely no storytelling pretty much and just is, like, all combat and exploration. Then you have something like this where it's a little bit of story. The focus definitely isn't there, but a lot of combat, lots of strategy, lots of grinding, which I don't mind at all. It's a JRPG.
And the combat's so good.
The combat's great. The music, good Lord.
Yeah, the grinding is much more passable. Like, I couldn't grind in Xenoblade Chronicles 2, to tell you the truth. It didn't feel right to me. But in this game, I have no problem grinding because I actually feel like I am learning the characters better. And I'm not just sitting back and watching like you are a lot of times in Xenoblade Chronicles 2. It feels that way. It feels a little more passive. This feels much more active.
Yeah, which is funny you mentioned that because that's a turn. Like, this is a turn-based game, and Xenoblade Chronicles is technically a real-time action game. So the fact that this feels more engaging is very interesting, but I kind of agree with you. I prefer, like, I'm a sucker for turn-based games. I love them. And I think that this adds something new to it. I think the break system is ingenious. And I'd love to see them explore more. And sales-wise, they probably are going to explore it more because this game is selling like nobody's business.
Oh, yeah. No question we're going to be seeing something else like this. That break system, basically, and the boost system makes... It adds just an extra strategy element to the turn-based system as well, because you are kind of figuring out when the enemy's turn is coming up and trying to maximize your number of turns as well as getting the most powerful hits that you can achieve at the right time. You want to make sure that you've broken your opponents at the right time when you've boosted your guys enough.
Yeah, and can that's attack the hardest part, man.
It really is. And that's the fun. Timing. Yeah, fighting these bosses a lot of times. That is the fun of it, because there's so much strategy involved in that. Yeah. And even for little minor, groups of enemies, it's the same thing. You're trying to figure out so much more, and so it even keeps you engaged when the enemy's attacking, just because you have to react now. Your strategy may have to be altered slightly in order to react to what the enemies did to you, and it all just works out so beautifully.
And all of these great things go without saying anything whatsoever about the graphics, which is what kind of grabbed everyone's attention right away.
How did you even mention that?
I know, it's crazy. That's the caliber of the combat in this game. In my opinion, it is the true evolution of turn-based combat that I've been waiting for so long. So many games have tried and failed, or have gotten somewhere but not where I wanted. This is kind of what I've been waiting for. So
I agree.
Do I want it applied to all of my turn-based games? No, I like my Pokemon where it is, but man, do I want a sequel to this game, and I'm not done with this one. So it just goes to show you how
this game is massive.
It's as big as you want. But that's the other thing, and we really do need to wrap it up. But I like that this game is as big as you want it to be. If you want to be done, you can be done when you finish a narrative, and that's something that I think more games should opt for, so that I can choose to be done rather than feeling like I have yet to actually experience anything, because it's like a required 120 hours of play. So that it's cool that sure the game can get to there, but it's not required. Some of the narratives are shorter, and you can kind of crush them real quick.
If you hate Therion like I do, you don't have to finish his story. Yeah. Screw that guy.
You don't even have to touch him, period.
Yeah. You don't even have to get him.
Too late, Tim. Yeah. Wish I would have known that.
I started with him, so.
Oh, you're stuck with him. Oh, God.
I started with the apothecary.
He's kind of like milquetoast, but whatever. He's, an idealistic young man, I guess.
He's very tanky. He's really tanky. In combat, he just eats shots.
Anyway, we really need to wrap up. We're out of time. But Zach, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your expertise with us. Where can we find you online?
You can find me at goombasomp.com. I was streaming. However, I'm not going to be doing that in the very near future. I'm probably going to wait until some of the bigger multiplayer games like Arena of Valor and Smash come out. Because I'm finding that I don't enjoy playing single-player games on stream. So, the stream's taking a break for a little while. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at RackZzak64. I tweet every day. So, that would be the place.
Nice. What about you, Patrick?
You can find me, of course, on goombastop.com. And you could tweet at me at Sorted Cinema, which I highly recommend if you got any movie stuff. Or if you have any great story ideas for your party in Octopath Traveler. I want to hear some of the weirdest character interactions that took place in your head.
Or if you want to message him some Nintendo-oriented horror stories that you came up with after our last episode, we'll gladly steal them.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyway, I am Tim Mason. You can find me at The Freemason, M-A-I-S-O-N, on Twitter. Check out my work on Goomba Stomp, although it's been a little bit quiet lately. I've been really busy, but the other podcast I'm doing is going strong. Go check that out. We're about to go to PAX in a couple of weeks here, so check out Game Boys as well. Beyond that, keep tuning in each and every week to our show and get all of the latest on Nintendo and gaming. Leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen, and drop us a rating. It does so much, you have no idea. So please do that. Beyond that, thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you more next week.